Hello, hello, and welcome back. This is the Experience Grind podcast. I am the host, Kyle Collins. I'm joined with the lovely host,
Ryan Demarest.
This is our podcast about experiencing different things and, you know, not always liking them. So a lot of times we're going to have to end up grinding that out. Again, using the RPG reference, it's an experience grind. You know, we're big nerds. We're going to do that. This is episode number 2 of the podcast, where we will break down our top 5 favorite movies that the other listener is going to have to experience. And at a later date, each episode will focus on either a game or a movie, and we'll focus pretty much on talking about what we liked and didn't like about that movie. So
a more in-depth conversation.
Yeah, it's very,
we're allowed to ramble a little bit longer.
Somewhat, yeah. And we'll probably ramble much more in later episodes when we just have one focus. So right now, again, you know, we're just going to be breaking down. This is the movies list. Our games list went a little bit long, so we decided to
do a two-part episode.
Yeah, cut it into two. Make it two. Let's keep it going. Yeah. So again, we'll get into more intros here so you can find out more about each of us.
Yeah. So this time I have a question for you, Kyle.
Let's do it,
bro. What is the worst movie going experience you've ever had?
Worst movie experience. Now, is this the worst movie I've seen or worst time at a movie?
The way I would interpret this question is worst time at the movie, not the worst movie.
Okay. Well,
the worst time.
My worst time at a movie is not so bad because it only lasted 15 minutes. Before I just couldn't take it, and I left.
It's Ernest Scared Stupid.
No, I love the Ernest series. That's something
too scary. Too scary.
Too scary. Those trolls, man.
It's pretty horrifying.
Have you ever seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Yes.
A lot of the troll masks from Ernest Scared Stupid were from Killer Clowns from Outer Space repainted.
No kidding.
You can tell it going back. If you watch now, you'd be like, oh, that's one of the clown masks. Really fucking cool.
I actually can visualize that in my head.
Yeah, like there's one especially that's like a bald clown. But anyways, worst movie experience.
Yes.
So I'll build this up a little bit.
Please do. Take us on a journey.
So
an experience.
Okay, so it was me and my girlfriend, Mandy, who I'm still with now. Love you, baby. We went.
That's sweet.
We're both fans of this actor-director. We thought we'd go check this out.
M. Night Shyamalan.
I do like M. Night Shyamalan. Some stuff. And I like Bruce Willis, who is his generally go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
But so before I knew something was amiss. When we get into the theater, and it's me and her, and a family of 4. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the family of 4 consists of a father, a son, a very obese mother, like what's eating Gilbert Grape obese mother, and then a teenage daughter who's going through her goth rebellious phase, who's sitting away from the family but still in the same row.
Sounds like a sitcom I'd watch.
Yeah. And so these trailers are happening before the movie, and one of the trailers comes on for, I believe it was Meryl Streep. She was starring in Mamma Mia.
Okay.
The big screen production version. And it also starred the chick from Jennifer's Body.
It's Amanda Seyfried.
Yes.
With the big eyes.
Yes, yes, her. She was
and Pierce Brosnan.
Yes, Pierce Brosnan as well. And some other old dudes that are somewhat handsome. So anyways.
I actually know all of them.
So this fucking trailer comes on. And this Gilbert's Grape mom of a woman flips out. She is like rocking back and forth and clapping in her seat and flipping. She's flipping out. She is excited as hell.
It's because of the dulcet tones of ABBA, obviously. Well,
I have to. She is a massive fan of the Mamma Mia musical. And I'm assuming, looking back, this is the first time that she's known that they're making a big screen production version. So she's watching it. She's visibly clapping with excitement in the theater. She's singing along. And I noticed that the teenage daughter is doing one of the... she's so embarrassed. She has her hands over her face.
Oh.
She hates being in public with her mother in this. And I guarantee she did not want to see this movie. She did not want to see this trailer. And I feel her pain. And it's another one. It's a side story of another terrible movie experience that maybe would work better. But so we get into the movie, and I'll go ahead and break it now. The movie that we were there to see was Sweeney Todd. Tim Burton with Johnny Depp.
That makes sense. Favorite actor.
So I'm not opposed to musicals. I enjoy some musicals. I love, West Side Story. I love West Side Story.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't mind musicals. The thing I didn't know about Sweeney, I knew it was a musical. I didn't know it was a musical in the sense that every fucking line in that movie is sung.
It's sing-songy.
Yes, there's not a bit.
They're gonna sing-song dialogue.
There's no just dialogue.
Yeah.
We lasted 15 minutes before I looked at her and she looked at me and I said, let's leave because this is not stopping. She's like, please, let's get out of here. That was my word. Just because that is the only movie I've ever walked out of.
Yeah,
my entire career.
Never walked out of a movie theater on a movie.
That was the only, and I just couldn't take it. I was like, I cannot sit through another hour and 15 minutes of this. I don't care.
It never gets better. No. I wish I would have left at 15 minutes.
Dude, it was so bad. Mm-hmm. So that is my worst movie experience.
Okay, that's a good one. I think for mine, I would have to say it's a movie I don't even like. I think even if I didn't have a bad theater experience, I still don't think it'd be a very good movie. I would not have enjoyed myself. Paranormal Activity 4.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is not a good movie to start with.
That's the one with the Hispanic children, right?
No, that's the marked ones. That's number 5.
Yeah.
Number 4 is just...
Is that the Facebook style one?
Yes. Where it's through the webcam and they try to find the ghost with the Kinect sensor, which is all kinds of ridiculous and stupid.
Yeah.
But my sister really wanted to see this on opening night in a college town with a bunch of dumb fucking kids filling up the theater who were clapping and laughing and making fun. Aww. Like, come out, ghost, we ain't scared of you. And
God,
just like
damn it.
The entire time heckling the movie. So an already not great movie. I was just livid the entire time watching this movie.
That
it's
sucks,
like,
man.
Why are you going to pay $9 on opening night to come out and just like... trash talk the movie. Like, I agree, it's not a great movie. Like, I'm not defending the movie, but like,
it could have been better had they not fucking ruined
it. Yeah, exactly.
You could have enjoyed, like, I like the Paranormal Activity series. For the most, they start to taper off really
I think the third one has some of the best scares in any.
The third one is the 80s one, right?
Yeah.
I like that one a lot. Mm-hmm. I like the second one a lot too. Yeah. I liked the first three were really good, and then they really started milking it.
I agree.
I hate people talking at a theater.
Oh,
why the fuck
general,
are
yeah.
you here? Mm-hmm. How do you not get this? How have you gone through your life with not understanding? Shut the fuck up.
I don't understand it either.
I don't want to hear you. I didn't pay $9 for you. Mm-hmm. It's the same. Why do people go to comedy clubs and think that the comedian wants them to fucking talk to them? They don't.
Nope.
Nobody in the audience wants you to. Nobody wants you to.
Nope.
Shut up.
Yep.
It's pet peeve. Big pet peeve.
I agree completely.
Shut the fuck up in theaters, everybody.
No manners.
Yeah.
Disrespect.
Come on. So, we're into our movies, our movie list.
In case you couldn't tell.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and fucking bang this puppy out, man. So, you started the video game list, right?
Now, yes.
I will go ahead and return the favor, and I will start the movie list here.
I think it's a good idea.
So, again, you know, to bring everybody up to speed where we're at, we're going to list our personal favorite, top five favorite movies. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Ryan will watch my top five and we'll do an episode on what he feels my choices were, what he feels about the movie, things of that nature. And I will do the same for him. So starting at number five, I think every movie on this list except for one is a movie I was really excited about and I saw it in theaters. And this one especially because of the director's previous work. Number two of them I haven't seen in theaters. But
two of mine I haven't seen in theaters.
So number one, I was super excited about this movie and I hyped it up to myself and I have a bad habit of that and then I overhype it to my... It's not the movie's fault, but this movie came through and blew my hype away. It surpassed all the hype I had planted into it. And that movie is Pan's Labyrinth. By Guillermo del Toro.
Just missed my top five.
Really? Yeah.
Love it.
Number five, man. That movie is fucking amazing. Like, visually, storytelling wise, its brutal harshness. Like, I love Guillermo because he doesn't,
so dark.
Dude, he doesn't pull punches. He goes like, dude, there's some fucking crazy things that happen to the little girl in this movie. Like, and I feel like you feel bad.
It's so clever because of the way they play with everything. Like, her reality is worse than the horrifying fantasy version.
Exactly.
And it's, oh man.
And like, the makeup is so good. Like, Pan is fucking creepy. You never know, is he good? Is he bad? What is he doing? Which is true to, I guess, the Pan character in Mythos. Like, he's never a defined...
He's like Loki. He's chaos. He's not good or bad. He is just out to stir things up.
He enjoys doing what Pan likes.
Yep.
And that's what Pan does, and that's what Pan will continue to do. And I guess Pan was played... He's the guy who played him.
Doug Jones?
Yeah, and he does a lot of... Guillermo uses him a lot. I guess he played Abe.
Abe Sapien.
He didn't do the voice, but he played...
He did the voice in the second one.
Yeah, because they couldn't
The first one was Niles from Frasier. Yes, David Hyde Pierce.
I loved it, man. Yeah. I wish they could have got him back. But I guess he also plays the guy with the crazy eyes on the hands.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic
also
character actor.
Also the Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four Rise of Silver
Now that I did not
Surfer.
Know.
Voiced by... Morpheus? Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, Lawrence Fishburne, yeah.
But it was Doug Jones.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I love Doug Jones. He's such a great... He's so perfect
character
for that.
Actor,
and I know... I love that Guillermo uses him. I would love to see him and Andy Serkis in a movie.
Oh, man.
Together. Because they both encapsulate that same physical performance so well. I love to see them on screen, so... Yeah, number five, man. Pan's Labyrinth.
It's a great choice. I'm sad that Guillermo del Toro is not represented on my list because I love him. I don't think there's a movie he made that I do not love.
Yeah.
Blade 2, Pacific Rim, all the Hellboys, Devil's Backbone.
Yeah.
Oh, they're all just so good.
And he uses Ron Perlman so much. I love Ron Perlman, man.
I do, too. I do.
You're sad you didn't get Guillermo, and based again on earlier we talked about your first podcast.
Yes.
I'm going to be sad, but I'm not so sad because I feel you're going to represent me that I don't have any Tarantino on my.
I have Tarantino on my.
I list. Knew you would. I knew you would. So I don't mind it.
Yes, but
Tarantino is very close on my top.
The
five.
Tarantino choice I pick later on because it's going to be high up.
Okay,
is not one that everybody picks for Tarantino.
I love all Tarantino, so it's fine. So,
me too.
Let's go ahead. Let's hear your number five,
all right. So much like my video games, number five is one that constantly changed. I had my top four ready to go from the get go. They had to be represented. Number five, I picked a more obscure movie, which I have today for you, Kyle.
Awesome.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Nice.
In case you haven't seen it.
I have, but right. I love this movie.
This movie blew my fucking socks off when I saw it.
Yeah.
It is Shane Black, who wrote Lethal Weapon, the first one, back in the 80s. He wrote and directed the last... No, I think he didn't direct. He wrote The Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis, and then he disappeared. He came back after like 10 years away... Written and directed, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is just a buddy cop movie in Hollywood that skewers every aspect of Hollywood. I just don't know what to say. This I told Kyle beforehand going into this was going to be hard because this is going to be the Chris Farley podcast where I'm just like, remember that time where Val Kilmer plays Gay Perry? Yeah. That was awesome.
Gay Perry is maybe one of Val Kilmer's best characters.
It is.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this movie was also sort of the comeback for RDJ, was it not?
Robert Downey Jr.'s first big... This, little known fact, this movie got Robert Downey Jr. the Iron Man role.
I did not know that.
Kevin,
I knew this was his comeback. This was the first movie after all of his scandal shit that he was finally cast in and showed that, hey, he still got it. So
it was. And we'll go deeper into this, but this is one of those movies that I think every line works. There's not a joke that falls flat in this movie.
I've only seen it once, and I loved it. God. I look so forward to watching this again.
I could quote for just an hour everything Gay Perry says. And
I remember loving Val Kilmer in it.
I don't think there's a better Val Kilmer movie.
I think he's better than RDJ in it. I mean, RDJ is good.
Yeah, no.
And it's great that he's
back. Kilmer steals the show.
Yeah, he's much like he does in Tombstone.
Yes.
People love Val Kilmer in that movie. And that's another very good Val Kilmer
and
to me.
And sadly, but he's done nothing since.
I know, man. And he got really fat and weird looking.
Well, I lie. He was in MacGruber, which is...
Yeah. I mean, he was... I love MacGruber, okay, but MacGruber's I'm saying great. Val Kilmer in MacGruber
it's not a great,
is sort of...
It's not the best performance. He just showed up.
Exactly. He's like, oh, hey, it's Val Kilmer. It wasn't... So, I look forward to this. Bang. I fucking love it.
Love that movie.
Love it. Awesome. I look forward to that. So I guess moving on to my number four here. Number four is actually, this is a funny story. I saw number four for the very first time on an airplane. I believe flying to, I want to say Israel. And I was flying with our sound engineer here, Andrew Hartman.
It has to be pretty recent.
I had heard pretty good things about it, and I remember watching it on the plane.
Jack and Jill.
I loved it so much, I immediately watched it again and was so excited on the flight home a week later that it was still there. I watched it again.
I'm very curious as to what this is.
I tried to get him to watch it. He also did not like it. And he's covering his face now because he knows. The movie, my number four movie, favorite movie of all time, is Drive.
Yes.
With Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Nicholas Winding Refn.
I wanted to put this movie on my list. I felt it might be too soon and too new, and I did not.
This movie impacted me so hard, I had to put it on. Like, dude, this is one of my...
So excited.
It's easily my favorite movie of the last 5 years.
Yes.
It is so well done. Ryan Gosling murders it in this performance, man.
Him, Brian Cranston, Albert Finn, is it Albert Brooks?
Albert Brooks
is
Ron
amazing.
Perlman.
Yes, Ron Christina Hendricks shows up and then something happens that's horrific.
Man, Brian Gosling has such an intensity in this entire movie, but at the parts when he's with the girl lead, who I cannot remember her name currently.
Oh, it's... keep talking, I'll think.
But the fact that he switched, it's so warm, and he lets that guard down, and I told you I'm a sap. There's so many scenes that, like, I cannot wait to break down with you when we watch this movie.
All right, I'm just going to go ahead and say the elevator scene
is one
of the best scenes in any movie the last 5 years.
He finally kisses her because he knows she will never see me the same.
The way the lights come in and they bathe, and then just the immediate brutal cut.
The music in this, it's so perfect.
Oh,
man. One of my favorite parts is when he's sitting by himself in the diner eating, and some dude that had worked on a job comes up and talks to him, and he's like, hey, why don't you fucking walk away right now, or I'll kick your fucking teeth down your fucking throat. And the dude's just like, okay, man. Yeah. Oh, God. I could talk about Drive forever. I love Drive.
Good.
The only reason it's not higher is because it is newer. I wanted to let it breathe some more.
Like I said, that's why I didn't make my list just because I've seen it twice. I don't know if it is one of my favorites yet, but it is a movie I adore. Yep. There is no flaw in that movie.
Yep.
It's perfect. Yep. It is a perfect movie. And I feel really embarrassed because my number four is on the opposite end of the spectrum. This is a movie I saw in theaters 5 times. I bought on DVD the day it came out and watched it every day for about 2 weeks straight. This is the best Fantastic Four movie that has ever been made.
Wow.
It is called The Incredibles.
Oh, awesome. I fucking love The Incredibles.
The Incredibles is a perfect movie in every aspect. It's not only just a great kids movie, but it has so much for adult comic fans. Started out, like, it is a Fantastic Four movie. It is about a family dealing with powers, fighting an evil, but the main focus is the family. It's the shifting dynamics between the husband and the wife, dealing with their kids in this age where superheroes are looked down on. It almost like cribs from The Watchmen. It does it so well and organically. It's so good. And it's another one where, like, every actor is perfectly cast for their voice. I love Jason Lee as Syndrome.
Dude, I love Jason Lee, period.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. And
in anything. But yeah,
as
Syndrome.
I almost had a few Jason Lee movies on here because Chasing Syndrome. Amy just missed my list.
And really? Awesome.
I love
Jason
Lee in that movie.
Awesome.
But it's just so good. Craig T. Nelson as Bob Parr and I can't think of her name right now.
I know it's funny.
The lispy.
I have a giant crush on Helen Parr, Miss Elastigirl. I cannot think of
the girl from Raising Arizona. Yeah. I can't think of her name right now.
Which is another great. But yeah, I kind of have a big thing for Elastigirl.
Yeah.
And especially, she gets older, she gets that big old mom butt.
She does get mom butt, yeah.
I love it, man. Helen Parr.
And I love that they're not afraid to do that. They give her a mom butt, and they make Bob, like, out of shape. And
I love the way that they deal with, like, a superhero not allowed to be a superhero, and having to deal with the mundaneness.
Yes.
God, dude.
It is a perfect movie, and the fact that Brad Bird is considering making an Incredibles 2 now excites me beyond my wildest dreams.
Yeah,
and that's...
Incredibles was Pixar at their peak for me. That's when they were really just knocking everything out, dude. So I'm so into that, man. Nice choice. Thank you. At all.
Just very different from Drive, which is super hard art to...
Yeah. It's enjoyable.
Lovely, sweet sap. And it's good. Love that.
It's fantastic. So I guess I'll move on to my number three here.
Yes.
Also,
your picks are exciting me. I love
number three is hands down, and it's... I will not spoil this by comparing it to, but I will say this is my favorite performance from an actor ever.
Has to be Johnny Depp.
It is Johnny Depp.
I knew it.
It is Johnny. I will go Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. I was expecting Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, my God. This movie, dude. And very close second to the best performance is Benicio del Toro in this movie.
So good.
This movie. Dude, I watch it like every year. This is one I can quote almost everything. It's so fucking bizarre and surreal. And the fact that I would imagine 90% of this really happened to Hunter S. Thompson blows my mind. And fucking Depp is Hunter S. Thompson in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And even when Hunter S. Thompson is in the movie, he looks just like, dude, it. It's mind blowing, and I'm so glad. Now bringing it back, you know, I recently saw Black Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, Johnny Depp is so fucking good in that movie. He needs to be back. I'm so glad that he's not doing this kitschy fucking stuff. I mean, I get it, you do it, but you're so good, dude. You encapsulate roles so well.
I agree and disagree. He pops up sometimes, and it's a little... I don't know if you saw Tusk.
Yes, Kevin, I liked him. I liked him in Tusk.
I liked the first half, and then he shows up as Guy LaDouche or something that big prosthetic nose.
What was funny, I kept watching. I was like, I didn't know it was... I was like, is this Johnny Depp? And I finally had to pull up my cell phone and look. I was like, it is Johnny Depp. Fucking shit. I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, but... I think without, you know, I get it. He's having fun with that. Like, he is.
Well, did you, I don't know if you heard, but like the reason he does all these makeup roles is because he hates how he looks. Like, he has a legitimate like issue with how he looks. He doesn't like to look at himself.
Huh.
So he loves putting on the makeup so then he can see these movies and it's not him. He's not looking at himself, which makes sense and kind of paints why his career is what it is. It's not bad, but...
The only person I think who, I think it's only because he's more method is Bill the Butcher. I cannot think of his fucking
name. Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yes, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Not a fan of Daniel Day-Lewis.
We will go around. He's not on my list, but I have plans for what we're going to turn this podcast into.
I hope we do a Daniel Day-Lewis movie because I think he's a handy, overrated actor.
I don't want to do just... I would like to like focus on... entire actors' catalogs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I would like for us to watch all the Johnny Depp movies, things of that nature. Like, I would really like to get into that type of thing. But that's for much later.
Yes.
But I just love, dude, Depp.
Fear and Loathing.
Fear and Loathing. Holy shit. So good.
I'll say the first time I saw this was freshman year in college. I didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I did not like it the first time I saw it.
That's one of those movies.
And then I saw again... And I laughed the entire way through. Yeah. I just had the best experience. And like the only time this has happened since was like Big Lebowski was the same way. It was like, I don't know if I like this. I don't know what tone they're going for. I saw it again. I was like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
This director, Terry Gilliam in Fear and Loathing, mm-hmm. he knows what he's doing.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, he does.
This is
great
a comedic
stuff.
Piece of like it's so good. And like you said, not to discredit Benicio del Toro, but I think he gives one of his best performances
in
that
fantastic.
Movie, too.
And he gained all that weight. I love... Yeah. It's not healthy, but I love when an actor does that. Like Christian Bale in The Machinist, man.
Jared Leto did it for some movie. I don't remember, but... Man. That whole bathroom scene, the I am Moby Dick and I am Ahab, is just the best.
I want you to fucking drop it in. Right? When White Rabbit peaks, man. Yeah, dude.
That's it.
All of it, man.
That is a good... So far, for our games and movies both, even though we don't have overlap...
Which I'm surprised by. I expected at least one overlap.
I really like your choices. There's not one where I'm like, oh, I don't look forward to watching that or playing that.
Okay, cool.
You're doing some good choices. All right. My number three, and this is the most recent one. I think this is the perfect movie to encapsulate what I am. It engenders everything I love about movies, about video games, about pop culture, and about music. It's Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Ha ha! Very fucking nice, man.
I had to get Edgar Wright on my list because I think he is one of the best directors out there for comedy. His cuts and edits are just so good and puts any kind of American comedy to shame. Scott Pilgrim, though, is just a little slice of Nirvana that's not going to work for everybody, but who it works for so fucking well. Yes,
it's Michael Cera's best performance.
Yes,
I think absolutely.
Even I think everybody in there
as a giant
so
Arrested
good.
Development fanboy with dude Scott Pilgrim. That is fucking Michael Cera.
It's Michael Cera. It's Chris Evans pops up as one of the evil exes. Mm-hmm. Maybe from Arrested Development pops up as one of the evil exes. Spoiler: they're not
I love
all
Chris
boys.
Evans. Chris Evans is my favorite,
but. Just yes, he's great. Jason Schwartzman, which I'm really sad because Rushmore didn't make my list, and Jason Schwartzman owns that movie.
I also had a
Wes Anderson did not get on my list.
He's very close.
I know he just missed it.
We'll do a whole Wes Anderson series.
I'm
you'll
happy
be okay,
that.
Wes. Don't be sad, bro.
But Scott Pilgrim just pacing
I love
is so
it.
Good. The fights are so kinetic. And they pop, and each one is so very different from the other.
It is the perfect comic book movie. It's the most comic book movie.
It is, and it's so true to that comic. And I think, more than any other comic, it's better than the comic. Because the ending is completely different.
I love it, too.
And I do not like the ending to the original, to the comic. The
I love
movie so much better.
I love the way that comic things bleed into the real world.
Yes.
Like, when the phone rings and it says, ring... Things like that, just those little touches.
The onomatopoeia that pops up.
Yeah, or when he's like, he's really disheveled and he's thumping his head on the wall and you just see the little thump sounds pop. Oh, so much,
you got that,
man.
And then you got all the video game references. Like, he gets the one-ups. There's, like, a faint Zelda ring for some of the title changes, like when a scene changes. Like, from Link to the Past. Yeah. There's a fucking Seinfeld reference with the...
It's all so good, man. It's such a great movie. Yeah,
I agree. It's one of the most clever comedies.
And it will not work for everybody, but the ones that it does work for, it hits every button.
And this is my this one and the next two, they're just style. And like I said, I think there's substance here, but it is the style can make up for any shortcomings.
Yeah.
And there's so much style dripping off Scott Pilgrim.
Nice, man.
It had to make my top five.
Awesome. Yeah, man, I cannot. What I love about this, and this is exactly what I'd hoped for, so far we have had no overlap, but I have not disagreed with anything either. I'm not going to enjoy any part. It kind of sucks because it's the experience grind, but I'm not going to have to grind through anything outside. Maybe Diablo 2, just because I'm unfamiliar with it, and it is an RPG.
It's a grind, yeah.
And that's why I really ended up only putting...
It's easy. You just do really bail runs.
Yeah.
You just do bail runs. And it's okay.
I just want to get to the cow level.
Oh, it's good. It's not as good as the one in Diablo 3 with the unicorns and the bright rainbows.
I've always heard...
Fancy Shire.
The second one has the halberd cows, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's all it is.
So, so my second one... Again, I'll go ahead and spoil my first one a bit, and just by saying my first one is my first one because of what I said earlier, I'm a giant sap.
Interesting.
So, my second movie...
I think I know what it is.
You might. My second movie, though, I talked about finally, a lot of my games changed me. Mm-hmm. This second movie impacted me so hard. Okay. I saw this movie 4 times in theaters. I have absorbed every piece of media it's put out. I've been disappointed with some of it. Loved a lot of other parts. But my number two movie is The Matrix.
Interesting that I brought that up earlier.
Yeah. And that's great, too, that you did bring that up. But yes, The Matrix was such a revolution in filming and film techniques and special effects. The story is a bit cliched, maybe a bit tropey, but it treats them with respect and uses them to further the story. Mm-hmm. I don't think it gets hampered by,
No, and it, like I was saying, I think the style goes a long way in The Matrix because
yes,
that movie was a breath of fresh air and it had so many imitators after it because yes, it did something so
to
new.
To this day, people still imitate The Matrix. That movie fucking changed everything.
Bullet time alone.
It came out of nowhere, dude. That movie came out of nowhere and blew everybody out of the water. And, I say that I did not really like 2 or 3 as much. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if they got in over their heads, if they got too full of themselves. I don't know.
I like 2. I like 2 a lot.
I like 2 better than 3.
Oh, yes.
But I own the entire box set of this, which...
Which is worth having.
But it also is great because it also includes... And I even on my list, I've tied this in and I want you to watch it too.
The Animatrix?
The Animatrix, yeah. Dude. Oh, my God.
They have the short from Square.
Yes, Flight of the Osiris, which was shown before the movie Dreamcatcher, and it's the only reason I saw Dreamcatcher in theater.
No.
I liked Dreamcatcher. It was
Poop aliens.
Dude, have you read the book?
No.
It stays true to the book pretty
Morgan
hard.
Morgan Freeman with 3-inch eyebrows. Yeah. I remember hating that movie when I
saw liked it. I didn't, again, I only went to see it to watch Flight of the Osiris.
Yes.
So anything, I was like, oh.
No, I did too.
Okay.
Because I was super into The Matrix at that point.
Yeah, me too. I'm telling you, I own Matrix t-shirts. I have this t-shirt that says, how far down does the rabbit hole go?
You played Enter the Matrix and Path of Neo.
Mm-hmm. Matrix... While buggy, I enjoyed it. Path of Neo is...
I thought Path of Neo was better. I kind of enjoy it.
It was okay.
I love the bonkers Smith fight at the end where he's just like a giant like Dragon Ball Z amalgamation of all the Smiths.
Yeah. But, The Matrix, dude. Like, for real. And that's another one I can still watch right now. We put it in. I will watch the whole movie. I can quote it. Love it. I love the music.
It's perfect.
That lobby shootout scene when it kicks in. When he walks through the fucking metal detector and he's like, do you have any metal on you? And he opens it up and the security guy goes, holy shit. Oh my God.
Which parodied in even video games. Conker. Yeah. Conker's Bad Fur Day.
They had the Matrix shootout scene. Yeah, dude. All
I
of
quote,
it, man.
Not like this.
Yeah.
When
I do too, man.
Is it Ghost?
Not
is
like
her name
Ghost? No, her name is Switch.
Yes.
Who? But this is cool, and I just found this out. I guess was originally supposed to be a transsexual character. She was supposed to be a male in the real world, and when she plugged into the Matrix, was supposed to be the female, which plays
really
into Larry and Lana's whole thing that she has now. That makes a lot of sense. But yeah, that line is one of the most iconic lines of the movie.
I do it every day.
Not like just this. About,
not
I
like
do it
this.
Too, and nobody fucking gets my reference, and I hate it.
Yep. Well,
dude, come on. But yeah, so The Matrix, and I am including the Animatrix in that. I would ask you to also watch that, and we can discuss that.
Love to. Because
I feel they go so hand in hand.
They do. So, and, it's the whole series as a whole.
Yeah.
Didn't shape out how I want it to.
Yeah.
Very disappointed in the third one. I think the second one set up some kind of, this could happen, like some possibilities. Did not pan out at all in the third one. But I love the ambition behind each of those movies.
Yes, exactly.
And it's specifically that box set, the 10-disc Ultimate Collectors.
That's the one I
have,
bro.
That's what I have, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They have, the theology talk, which breaks down every movie into, each religion it's based off of. And it's just...
Dude, I have this book some of the most called ambitious Philosophy in the Matrix, which breaks down philosophies and
Yeah, that's a huge choice.
It's very close to my number one, but yeah.
Interesting. So. And I think I know what your number one
is. We'll get there.
I'm very curious how this be out the Matrix then. But number two is my Tarantino.
Ooh, good.
And this is another asterisk one. I don't think I can do just one movie. I have to do two because it was intended as one. My number two is Kill Bill Volume 1 and Volume 2.
God, yes. I own the box set of this.
Yes. If you know, gun to head, if I had to pick one, I think I would pick Volume 2 because it gives a lot of the backstory and character and heart to the movie that you need. The first one's more style, but you need both.
I would probably go with number one, but I do. It's very close, man. Number two, I love that number two is... It's such a different movie from
number one. It's a Western
movie. Yeah.
It's Western.
It's not the kung fu fighting, flipping action.
None of that.
Yeah. It's so different. It's got Oliver training with
Pai Mei.
Dude.
Oh, see, and this is one I could quote from start to finish. There are so many. Every scene is so good. Like, even like the minute scenes that don't matter to everybody. Like, in the first one, when she goes to Hattori Hanzo to get the sword.
Hattori Hanzo.
I love the dialogue between Hattori and his servant at the bar.
Yes, dude. And that's what blows me away about that. All right, so Tarantino's known for his dialogue in movies, much like Kevin Smith.
He has action dialogue where you don't need a fight scene.
No.
You just listen to his words and you're on the edge of your seat.
But the fact that he encapsulates that in a complete other language.
Yes.
Mwah. Love it. I'm a big fan of these movies. Like,
if this is the army, I'd be the general. Do you understand? I'm not bald. Do you understand? I shave it on purpose. Do you understand? I just love every bit of that.
I say that. That's another quote that I say all the time, and people don't get it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just going to be doing this. Do you understand? No, they just think I'm a racist.
You Americans, so involved with your samurai swords. I like the baseball. Every line is just... Cheese and it's his most poppy and stylistic movie. There's not as much substance as like Pulp Fiction or like even Inglourious Basterds, but just every scene pops with life, and there is no downtime in that 3-4 hour total movie.
I will watch both volumes. It's crazy. It's funny. If I was going to pick a favorite Tarantino, mine would be the least favorite too, and that's Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown's brilliant.
I love Jackie
Brown. Jackie Brown's like in my top three of his.
I love that movie, man. Yeah. That's so well done. And most people don't even know that's a Tarantino.
I think it's his least obvious.
Yes.
It's not in your face, it's not over the top graphic or fuck heavy. He doesn't get his expletive chains out, but it is the most solid movie, the most grounded, and it, like, Jackie Brown as a character is one of the best characters.
Dude,
her and Max Cherry are just so good.
Samuel L. Jackson is a real piece of shit in that movie. Like, even more than he was in Inglourious, dude.
Well, that's...
I mean, and he was a big bastard in Inglourious.
I don't know. Inglourious is pretty bad.
Yeah.
He's pretty bad in Inglourious.
Really, but man, he's such a...
Or not Inglourious, Django.
Oh, yeah, Django. Yes. Thank you.
I knew what you're talking about.
I own both those. I look forward to watching. I love them. It's great. I don't know if she'll listen to this. Not Mandy. I used to date a girl, and we were big fans of this movie. And my pet name for her was Kiddo.
No fucking shit. So you and I share a lot because one of my ex girlfriends, my nickname for her was Kiddo as well.
It's because of this movie.
Ace and Kiddo, and it was because of Beatrix Kiddo.
Nice. Yeah, that's exactly why it was because of Beatrix Kiddo.
My wife now Laura had a praying mantis in Korea that we called Beatrix for that very reason. So we have that pet name too.
It's moving, but it's not Kiddo, so it's not weird. And
it's not. No.
Don't be hating.
No.
Don't
not
be
at
hating,
all.
Girls.
I'm so glad that. Her name was Kiddo.
It was for that movie. So I guess since you think you know, do you want to guess my number one?
All right. So I think it's Adam Sandler.
It is.
And since you said sappy, it leaves me with three choices, which, I mean, his only sappy movies are Wedding Singer,
mm-hmm.
50 First Dates,
mm-hmm.
and Click.
It is none of those.
Well, now, I am fucked.
I have thrown you off because I've said it's Adam Sandler.
Is it Punch Drunk Love?
It is Punch Drunk Love. Punch Drunk Love is my favorite movie of all time. I
love that answer,
love,
by the way.
This movie. And I told you it's because I'm a sap. I'm not afraid to admit this movie can make me cry. Like, oh my God. Adam Sandler in this movie is so broken, and he's put back together. He's not even put back together. He's just understood by this woman that takes the, she likes him. She loves him.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, oh my God.
That's why the movie resonated with me so
me
much.
Me too, man.
I saw it and I fell in love. This is also one of my first Philip Seymour Hoffman movies I saw.
He's great in this movie.
Shut up.
Fuck you.
I love that telephone conversation.
Dude, Barry is such an. Oh my
God. What? They had a name for those weird, like, heart fractal images that appeared in there with the organ music. I don't remember what they're called, but, like, those are just beautiful and, like...
The whole movie is gorgeous that way. The music and, like, it's so beautifully shot. And even, like my DVD... I have the special edition DVD version, and it says... It gives you adjustments to your TV to make the colors pop. Because that's...
Yeah.
Dude, that's so much part of it, is all this color that... flows in certain scenes, and then it's dark and gray. And, like, I love the way that, like, when he sees her, that's when the color and the music comes up. And when she's not around, everything is square and box and gray and dark. And oh, my God, man.
Did you see this movie in theaters?
I did not.
I did not either. I saw it on DVD, just random buy.
Exactly. I bought it randomly at Walmart. I bought this special edition. I'm like, what is this? Adam Sandler. Huh. I like Adam Sandler. Fuck it, I'll buy it. And this was when I used to work a night shift, and I'd get off and I'd just kill time. I went to Walmart, I bought it, and I remember watching it, dude, and I fell in love right there, and I have loved this movie ever since.
It's one of those movies I love because of the quirkiness to it,
too. It's so, like, but him it's not
buying
cheap
the things,
with the
trying
quirky.
To get, like, the air miles, and just this
so
random organ
her.
Shows up, and it's like these little touches that just make it so unique and personal. And it's just, I'm so happy it was that and not the three movies I saw.
Oh, no. See, and I knew it would throw you off because it's not an Adam Sandler directed movie.
You said Adam Sandler was going to be in your top five, and I was worried.
Yeah, I knew you would be. I was trying to throw you a curve. It's crazy. Like, why doesn't he do more stuff like this, man?
Well, I think he tried in the last year.
He did that one movie with the dude who's War Machine now, where the Shadow of the Colossus
plays a
big part in the movie. Yeah,
the
I never saw
movie.
That.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's
see, that's why.
Extremely okay. And then he did one recently, Men, Women, and Children, which is a serious one.
I've never even heard of that.
It's Jason Reitman, the guy who did Thank You for Smoking and Juno.
I love Thank You for Smoking.
All good movies. Yeah. And Up in the Air I love, too, the same director. But this is like a... This feels like a movie written by an old man who does not understand the internet.
Oh.
And it's kind of like cyberbullying, and like the internet's really bad. And like, you got to beware of the internet. Scary shit happens. And it just seems completely out of touch for somebody who did fucking Juno.
Yeah.
Where it was like so hip and it felt like it was on the pulse.
Well,
of teens.
But in defense, Juno was written by Diablo Cody.
That's true, too.
And I think she had a big part in probably co-directing that movie.
Which... I think a lot of people turned on Juno after the fact. I think a lot of people really liked it when it started, and now people are kind of poo-pooing on it.
Yeah.
I still think it's...
It's enjoyable. It's, really it's fun. But yeah. So but that's my number one, man.
That's
Pumpstar
a great
love.
Pick.
Yeah.
That's a great pick.
And that, as soon as we did this list, that started as number one and has not changed.
Every single one of these movies you've listed on your list, I own because they're all great.
The only one I don't own of these is Kiss Kiss and Incredibles.
I will bring those to you, no problem. All right, so that leaves my number one. And saw this in theaters. I didn't know what to expect. I've never heard of the director before. I went in completely blind. It was nothing what I expected, but it just stuck with me. When I first saw it, I was like, I think this is good. I think I like this. This is kind of funny. And I couldn't stop thinking about this movie for months afterward. I went to the theater 2 weeks later to see it again. The next week, I brought more people.
Nice.
I saw this several times in theaters. This is another one, like, as soon as it came out on DVD, I had to buy and show as many people as I could. It is Jim Carrey's best performance. It is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That was my number six, dude.
It is such a beautiful...
And for the same reasons,
it's
I love
so good.
Punch Drunk, dude.
Yes. And that's... That's why I get
so
punch
sappy
drunk.
And so look, God, yes, dude.
It is sappy, but it's also what you bring to it. It is loving and cherishing in these memories and moments. But the ending of that movie is so ambiguous, and it can either be very sad or very happy depending on like your point of view. If you watch that movie after a breakup, it is heartbreakingly sad and gut-wrenching. But if you watch that in the throes of love, like as you're dating somebody, it is the most uplifting movie about love and relationships. And that's why it's so brilliant, because it plays to any kind of mood. Kate Winslet's perfect in it. Michelle Gondry is just a visionary filmmaker. And when he writes his own material, it's not always for the best. Like Be Kind, Rewind or Science of Sleep, I think are beautiful movies, cinematography-wise. They look so good. They're so inventive. But there's something lacking in the story. He had Charlie Kaufman and Spike Jones work on this.
Yeah, or you can tell the Spike Jones flavor too, man.
And I loved Spike Jones is such a sap. And this you saw in like Her when that came out. And like I loved Her too.
Yeah.
But like Charlie Kaufman's there, and Charlie Kaufman is a bitter fucking man who hates everything, it seems like, because he did Schenectady, New York with the Philip Seymour Hoffman movie, which just interprets like how hard life is and how much life just shits on you and relationships are tough. And like that's in Eternal Sunshine too. So you get this nice juxtaposition of the very best of relationships and the very worst. And it all feels very real and honest and earned. Like nothing is forced or stagey. It just,
I love it, man.
It's so natural.
Yeah.
And I love that movie.
I saw that movie in theaters too. I went with my girlfriend at the time. We both loved it. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I've not seen it as many times as you,
but I've loved it
and I look forward to watching that. So
yes,
absolutely. Hands down, man. We're not grinding anything.
No,
we will. I've got,
it'll come.
I've got some episode, you know, spoiler alert. I think, dude, I look forward to doing Mom's Favorite Movies. I thought of that.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. It's going to be hard talking about my Mom's Favorite Movies.
Yeah.
Her and I have some overlaps.
Yeah.
But
see,
it might be out there.
I know your mom lives in North Carolina.
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
I would really like to do that episode when our moms can be here.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So, but getting, you know, we're ending up here. We're gonna wrap this up. Just real quick, let's do two more movies that maybe didn't make the list.
Oh man, I've got a list, so let me see. If you know two off the top of your head, I'll choose.
Two of mine that were very close were Big Fish again.
Tim Burton.
Yes, and it's very sappy. Again, I told you I'm a big sap.
And the cinematography, I think that's one of his most beautiful films.
It's one of my favorite Burtons, hands down.
Yeah.
And then No Country for Old Men was very, very close.
Interesting.
And I look forward to doing an entire Coen Brothers piece because, God, I love that movie. It's my favorite Coens.
Yeah.
Very close second that was also on my list was Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So. Oh, great. I personally would go with Big Lebowski.
I like Big Lebowski.
And Raising Arizona.
But Big Lebowski did not resonate with me as much as I think everyone else in my generation. I like it. It's fun. It's quirky. It's great. But I don't like it. Like, I like both those way better.
Oh, they're all great. Yeah. I'm a goddamn Deborah Dan man. It's they're all good. All right. So I'll pick two that are kind of different.
All right.
I was very sad that my list didn't incorporate any horror movies.
Okay.
So I had Army of Darkness.
Oh, very close.
Which I love Army of Darkness. Yeah, I think Evil Dead 2 might be the better movie, but Army of Darkness is just
for me
so fun.
I'm the same. Yeah, Army of Darkness. That was the first one I ever saw as a kid.
Yes, me too. And it introduced to Bruce Campbell, the greatest rubber face actor. Like, he's up there with Jim Carrey with physical comedy and slapstick. And then Kung Fu Hustle.
Really? Okay. I would not have expected that. It's a good movie.
I'm a sucker for Stephen Chow.
Yeah, he does great.
Shaolin Soccer, Journey to the West. He's done so the God of Cookery. He does so many movies, but
and it's got good respect for the Kung Fu as well. So
it does.
Yeah, I would not have expected that. It does. Wow. I enjoy those movies. I would not have put them anywhere in my top.
I love Kung Fu Hustle.
Wow. Nice. Awesome.
All right.
Well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. This has been The List Part 2, Reloaded, the movie list. This will be episode 2. Starting next week, I guess I'm going to be watching Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and you're going to be watching, what is it?
Number five for
Pan's
you.
Labyrinth. Pan's Labyrinth. So that's what we'll be discussing next week.
Be watching that right in time for Crimson Peak coming out.
Yeah, that should be one we go see. I would love to see that too. So there it is, everybody. These are the first two. I think it's going to be a very well-lived thing. Ryan, I look forward to this, man. This is going to be great.
Oh, me too. Yes.
Again, I'm Kyle Collins. This is my host.
Ryan Demarest.
And so thank you. Keep listening. It'll get really, really, really wordy, but it'll be really fun.
I think so.
And especially, again, thank you to our sound engineer, Mr. Andrew Hartman. And we'll see you on the next side.